Thank you very, very much for all the very beautiful offerings. They were scholarly. They were erudite, full of based on the authority of Krishna consciousness, and foremost, they were full of bhakti or devotion to the Lord, to the spiritual master, and to the Vaishnavas. So everyone was pleased. Krishna is pleased seeing his devotees make advancement. The spiritual master is pleased seeing his disciples remain steady in Krishna consciousness year after year. It's not so easy. You always say it's easy. Chant, dance, feast. Krishna also gives a warning. It's like when you're driving, there's sometimes warning signs. Slow down and think about it, how you take that turn. Daivyesha gunamai mamamaya varateya. That this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, Krishna admits it's difficult to overcome, but those who surrender unto me can easily overcome it. Sometimes Prabhupada would give the analogy of the spider's web. The spider spins the web, and because it's coming from her and by nature's way, she can walk all over the spider web and not get entangled. But as soon as a little fly unknowingly comes along and boom, gets caught in the web, he's done for. So for materialistic persons who have no knowledge of how to extradite themselves from the entanglement of material life by becoming devotees, it's a terrible place. But for devotees who have the guidance of a spiritual master and our founder Acharya Śrīla Prabhupāda and our previous acharyas, it's not that difficult. We're like the spider in the web. We don't get intent. We move about. We do like everyone else. But we're doing it for Krishna. So there's no entanglement. So we're happy to see that you're making advancement. I mention it every year. Prabhupada has said that one can understand the quality of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi when they speak. And so many beautiful offerings. There were many tears today. And as Gogovinda Maharaj said one time, I said it yesterday, they asked him, what is the essence, the newspaper reporter, what is the essence of your movement? How would you describe this Hare Krishna movement? And if it was a newspaper reporter, I would have said, well, our philosophy is based on an ancient spiritual tradition, at least 5,000 years old, Bhagavad Gita. Human life is meant for spiritual advancement, and the first step is to understand I am not the body. And the prescribed method of becoming self-realized, God-conscious, is to chant the holy names. That's what I would have said. But he replied, when he was asked, what is the essence of your movement? He said, crying, 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 crying. But not sad tears, but tears of happiness. And we begin to experience that love in Krishna consciousness in each other's association under the direction of our spiritual preceptor, and all culminates in love for the divine couple. So this is one of my favorite days of the year. I just love it to sit here and get glorified. No. It's all Prabhupada's mercy, so we can have loving exchanges. And as I mentioned yesterday evening, for those of you who are present at the class in the manor, today's also a special day, a most special day, because on our Vaishnava calendar, this is the celebration of the Panihati festival, or the chipped rice festival. And with your permission, I would like to speak something about that event. For me, it's even more important because it's a pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, by whose mercy we're all sitting here today. And this pastime of Panihati, or the Chipped Rice Festival, there's many instructions as well about the guru-disciple relationship. So we'll read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Kaviraj Goswami about the Chipped Rice Festival, and I'll speak and I'll weave in as well some inspiration for you and for me to increase our loving relationship and become valuable instruments in Srila Prabhupada's hands for spreading Krishna consciousness to this great country of Britain. Mm. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Om Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrindam. I won't read the Bengali because you need a magnifying glass to read this particular book as it's printed here today. But we'll begin from text 43. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place, and the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, "Oh, there is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances." Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "You are a thief. Now you have to come see me. Come here, come here. Today I shall punish you." The Lord called him, but Raghunath did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows: "You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. But now I have captured you. I shall punish you. And what is the punishment?" The Lord said, "Make a festival and feed all of my associates yogurt and chipped rice." Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of edibles and bring them back. Raghunath Das brought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other edibles and placed them all around. As soon as they heard that a festival was going to be held, all kinds of brahmanas and other gentlemen began to arrive. Thus, in due course of time, there were innumerable people. Omagyanti madandasya gananganha shalakaya chaksurul militam jainatasmai si guruvena maha sri chaitanya manobishnam shtapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadantisva padantika. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So good news that we're all gathered today to hear the glories of this festival, the festival of chipped rice, the Panihati festival, which is being observed all over the world, in all the temples of the international Society for Krishna Consciousness. In these verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear Lord Nityananda instructing Raghunath Das Goswami specifically. Actually, at this point, he's still Raghunath Das. He's instructing Raghunath Das to feed all of his associates and all the devotees of the Lord and even the local brahmanas and the common people a feast of chipped rice and yogurt. In honor of that, this morning we had some chipped rice and some bananas and some yogurt. It wasn't exactly like what I imagine a Sunday feast is like, you know, with rasgullas and jalebis and burfi and all different types of sabjis and samosas and kichoris. I'm getting hungry. That pastime took place on the bank of the Ganges at Panihati, which is just north of Calcutta. And this pastime took place actually during the monsoon season. If you've ever been in India during the monsoon season, it's very hot and it's very muggy. So Nitai, very intelligently, he ordered foodstuffs that the devotees considered very cooling, like dahi. You know, in the old days in India, there wasn't a lot of medicine around, and so when we got sick, like we got diarrhea, we wouldn't drink milk, because milk heats the body. But yogurt, dahi, cools the body. And to some degree, so do bananas. So whenever we get sick, we wouldn't go to the allopathic doctor, we wouldn't go to the Ayurveda. We just buy some yogurt and bananas, and sometimes it worked. But essentially, these foodstuffs, which Nitai asked Raghunath Das Goswami to serve the devotees by, because out of the process of Krishna consciousness, we enjoy chanting, we enjoy dancing, we enjoy Harikatha, and we look forward to the feast. I'm sure it's not out of your mind today that there's going to be some prasadam here. And as I humorously said yesterday, many times these days at our ISKCON temples, you know, I'll come somewhere, I'll be in Sydney, or I'll be in Auckland, or I'll be in Rio de Janeiro, and I'll be giving a lecture on Sunday, and there's 20 people. And at the kirtan, the artik, there's 30 people, but then when it's time for the prasadam around 7 o'clock, there's 500 people. So therefore, Mahaprabhu, he even described that this prasadam, it's Lord Chaitanya's secret weapon. And we must always remember that it is absolute. The name, fame, form, paraphernalia, pastimes of the Lord, by tadiya, by association with the Lord, they're absolute, they're non-different than the Lord. So therefore, when we take prasadam, we don't eat prasadam. We respect prasadam. And in that light, I remember whenever Prabhupada would take prasadam, he would always take alone. Because we were young, passionate men and girls, and, you know, well, we wanted to take them. We'd say that prayer so fast, you know. But Prabhupada, when I'd sometimes watching him eat, the prasad would be placed there, and you could tell he was praying, and he would look at the prasad, and with great awe and reverence, he would take that prasad and put it in his mouth, and he would meditate on, now I understand, is Krishna's mercy. And mercy we need. So the foodstuffs was prepared like that. And Raghunath Das was engaged by Lord Nityananda in this way, because feasts are quite expensive. If you're a temple manager, you'll know that a great part of the budget for the temple each month or each year is the prasadam. We sometimes take it for granted. We shouldn't, but we come and the prasad's there and it's generally free. And, you know, but managers, this is their headache. Where do you get the Lakshmi to pay? Because we want to serve the Lord very nicely with foodstuffs, and we want to please him by serving his devotees very nicely, prasadam. So this was an expensive endeavor. You know, when the word got out, you're reading here, as the word got out, it said, so many people started coming to take prasad. So Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das at that time, again, he was born in a wealthy family. We don't have time today to go into the whole Leela. I wish we could, but he was born in a very, very wealthy family, and actually at one point he was married to a very beautiful girl. He had all the opulences that a person could dream of in material life. In those days, he was the 1%. They often talk now in modern society that 90% of the wealth in this world is owned and controlled by 1% of the population. Wealthy, the Rockefellers, and the this and the that, and they have all the money. So generally when you have that kind of money, it goes to your head. Money makes funny. Why do I need God? This is the fallacy that develops in that type of arrogance. I have this, I have that, I have security, I need God. It doesn't always happen, but generally you find often people, it goes to the head. But not in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami. His renunciation is particularly remarkable because, you know, if you have nothing, you just say, I'm going to renounce, like, okay. But if you have everything and you renounce it for the service of the Lord, that is something to be noticed. So he took this service very seriously. It doesn't mention how much he spent, but you could say it was the beginning of his renunciation. And he used that money in the service of the devotees. Serving the devotees of the Lord brings great auspiciousness. Shushushrau shudadanasya vasudeva katha ruchi siyan mahat sevaya vipra punyatirtha nishevana. Sanskrit, so poetic. Oh, twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. And what is the benefit of hearing the messages of Vasudeva, or we say Harikatha, Krishna Smaranam? You can remember Krishna. And if you hear enough throughout your lifetime, your heart becomes purified. What happens is it awakens your love for Krishna. As we said yesterday, how do you always remember someone and never forget them, which is the meaning of Krishna Smaranam? How is it possible to always remember somebody and never forget them if you hate them? Like Kamsa. He hated Krishna because he heard the omen that this sixth or eighth son of Devaki, his sister, would be his death. So he's always thinking, where is this rascal? Let me. Every day he was sending a demon to Vrindavan. We have the general demon. Every day he was sending. So he was always thinking of Krishna. So is that a definition of Krishna consciousness? That he's always thinking of Krishna, never forgetting him? No. Rupa Goswami says it has to be done favorably. That's bhakti. So how to get to that point? The whole purpose of this Krishna conscious movement, everything we do, and we're busy as bees, but let us not forget the goal. The goal is to love Krishna, to love the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. So by regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to pure devotees, all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil. And pure devotional service comes from us. So we're in the right place right now, at the right time, doing the right thing. And as much as we can engage in this Shravanam Kirtanam, it's to our benefit. Serving the devotees and hearing the Bhagavatam. So that's how Raghunath Das became Raghunath Das Goswami. He was an eternal liberated soul, a Nitya Siddha, but for our benefit, he acted like an ordinary person. Everyone needs a hero. Unfortunately, the heroes are Spider-Man and the Avengers and all these crazy things. But if we had heroes, we have heroes who are liberated souls, then to some degree our liberation is guaranteed. He's Nitya Siddha. Sometimes those Nitya Siddhas, they come to this world. That's the amazing thing. Like sometimes you'll find a very dignified person, a high-class person, a great reputation in a poor part of town. And your natural question is, what's a nice person like you doing in a place like this? Right? You meet the president of the country in the red light district. Of course, nowadays it's pretty common, but theoretically, what are you doing here? So one may question, why these great souls come to Martyrloka? Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravito arjuna mamopetu de kuntiya punarjanma divide. London is also mentioned in that verse. Yeah, did you hear? From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. So Gogravinda Maharaj once stated that there's two types of living entities who come from the spiritual world. One is he who comes of his own compassion, and the other is one who's ordered by the Lord to come. Such a person is our Srila Prabhupada. He did mention that in a confidential talk with one of my godbrothers, Bhavananda, who's now writing his memoirs, and he's sharing them with me, and I'm helping to edit. That one time Prabhupada said to him, I did not want to come to the horrible place. Horrible place. It's a horrible place. But Krishna said to me, no, you go down. Prabhupada said, so many austerities. And Krishna said, that's all right, you go down and you write books on the science of Krishna consciousness and yogic shemam bahamyam. I'll provide what you need, I'll protect what you need and provide what you lack. Perfect example of that verse from Bhagavad Gita, personification of that verse. So two types of souls. So Raghunath Das Goswami is one such personality. We know he's one of the Manjaris in the spiritual world. And when he came here, because you can only give up something if you get something better. And if you have the best, you'll never be attracted to anything inferior. Like Prabhupada said. He said, in my lifetime, I did not know it was sinful activity. And I never forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. We never read about Prabhupada slipping or being tempted by anything. These are personalities from the spiritual world. So we would expect that those who come here exhibit great renunciation to begin with, and great devotion on top of that. That's to be expected. If we're looking to see a saintly person to whom we want to take shelter, we want to make sure that that person is renounced from this world, number one, but even more than renunciation, that that person is deeply attached to Radha and Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami, by the very fact that he walked away from that kingdom, and that beautiful young girl, and all opportunities for sense gratification, to serve Lord Chaitanya, that therefore we can understand that we can take shelter of him. Vairagyara kata tanra adbhuta katana ajanmana dhila jivaya rashara sparshana. Topics concerning his renunciation are wonderful. Throughout his life he never allowed his tongue sense gratification. Chindakani kanta vinana pare vashana savadane prabhura kaila agnera palana. Raghunath Das Goswami never touched anything to wear except a small torn cloth and a patchwork wrapper. Thus he very rigidly executed the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his renunciation is further understood. As he grew older in his life, he renounced things to the point that is unimaginable for us human beings. Because he had no interest. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, when Prahlad Maharaj came before Lord Nrisingadev, after Nrisingadev had killed his father Hiranyakashipu, it's described in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad came forward, he was fearless, and he sat on the lap of Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Nrisingadev put his lotus paw on the head of Prahlad Maharaj. And Bhagavatam says that the very last vestiges of material desire immediately disappeared from the heart of Prahlad Maharaj. This is quite amazing. Prahlad Maharaj was so advanced that that the Lord invested one incarnation to come and deliver him. One incarnation for one devotee. That's how much Nrisimhadev loved Prahlad Maharaj. But there was some, just like you have camphor on the table, it's there, but you take it away and you put it somewhere else, but still you smell the camphor. It's there in a very subtle way. So to free the heart of material desires, we think, yeah, the lust is gone, the anger is gone, the greed is gone. There's so much in there because we've been in this material world since time immemorial, dragging ourselves through it. Like you drag someone through a coal field full of coal dust. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Jeev. We've been here since time immemorial, so there's a lot of subtle desires as well, like pratishtha. You can be free from the desire to enjoy material objects. You can even become freed from sex desire. But more difficult than that is the desire to be honored. I saw when I went to Kumbh Mela, the Mahakumbh Mela many years ago, renunciates sitting on top of elephants, the saintly persons of different traditions, and they were naked, they had no possessions, they were not looking at the women, or, you know, you could tell they were detached in that way, but their chest was very broad and they were... Pratishtha. This is the cardinal sin of the living entity, that he falls from the spiritual sky out of envy. And envy means that he wants to be number one. So these things are very subtle. It may take Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabaha. It's a long road back to Braj. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the road to Vrindavan is strewn with thorns and brambles. Figuratively meaning that there's to get to the point of anartha vritti, which is necessary to begin to speak about love of God, prema, there's a lot of cleansing. Scrub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. That's a good title for this lecture. Scrub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. Right? So you swallow a bar of soap? No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And just like daily you take a bath, Vedic culture sannyasis would bathe three times a day to keep clean. So also the heart, by looking at this world, getting the impressions of this world, even just looking at a materialistic person sometimes, there's contamination. So, cheto dharpana marjanam, cleansing. Mahaprabhu said, kirtaniyad sadahari, always chant. Not done for the day. If you've got time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. And one naturally becomes detached as one grows older by the process of purification. It becomes easier. I told Prahlad today, I'm not lamenting I'm 70. This is the best part of my life. It's easier. Lokanath Goswami said to me one time, I love growing old because the senses become dead and you lose your attraction for the material world. This is the best part of it. You should all look forward. You should pray to Krishna, I want to be 70. Just like a snake, by nature's way, the snake's skin, he sheds his skin. Sometimes I'm walking in different parts of India or different parts of the world, jungles. I see these snake skins, like, you know, 10 meters long, like, whoa, watch out. So as one advances, one doesn't have to be artificial in renunciation. One doesn't need to practice unnecessary austerities like going to the Himalayas and sitting in the snow naked and coming to the understanding, I'm not the body. Or I was recently, you may have seen on one of the photo albums that we sent from Vrindavan some months ago, I met one yogi out at Chiragat. The Chiragat's the original Chiragat, not down in Vrindavan proper there, but some distance away there's the original Chiragat, where Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. Very beautiful place in the forest on the banks of the Ganges. And there was one sadhu there. I'd never seen it before. I met him. He just said a few words. And then about 7 o'clock in the morning, as the sun rose and it was getting hot, he built, he put cow dung and wood around himself, and he lit it on fire. And then it got really hot, like 9 o'clock. You know, India gets hot fast. Then he took a bucket, and he put coal in the bucket, and he lit the coal and put it on top of his hair, because he had that top knot like that. He told me, that is why I have the top knot to put the hot coals. Okay. That was burning there, and he was like this, and the sun was right. He sat there till 12 noon, sweating. Just, Om, Om. And I was like, I was impressed. But I was sitting in the shade with it. But that's not necessary to become renounced. As Janaka Panda says, you can only give up something if you get something better. So bhakti yoga is so wonderful, because from the very beginning, Prabhupada said, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 1,000 steps. So he's even very interested in the aspiring devotee. That verse, sarva dharmam paricchaya mamekam saranam vraja aham tam sarva papyebhyo moksha, that verse is not directed to madhyamadhikaris or to uttamadhikaris, not even kanishtadhikaris. Krishna is saying, just abandon all types of, you know, your speculative dharma, just surrender unto me. I will protect you from sinful reaction. Uttamadhikaris don't have sinful reactions in their heart. Madhyams are well on the path of purification. He's speaking to those who are looking in the window. What is this Hare Krishna temple? Krishna is wants us to come back to Godhead more than we do. So, knowing how attached people are, how fallen they are in this age, there is he makes a compromise. Harinama, Harinam, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranya. Chant. But even that we can't do. We can't maintain our vow of chanting from the cradle to the grave, even though that compensation is there. So talks like this, the State of the Union address we called in America when the temple president, the country president, Nixon or Reagan or Trumpy bump bump, they give their State of the Union address to the nation, like where we're at and where we're going. These types of talks get a little push. Chant. 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 Keep chanting. All problems are solved by chanting Hare Krishna. So, as Raghunath Das or Raghunath Das Goswami, we would expect, because he's setting an example for us. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even God himself, he chose not to come as an avatar, God, because everybody wants to be God in this age. Prabhupada said one time there's a incarnation of God at every street corner of Bombay in the 1970s. No, he didn't come as God because people would imitate him to become God. He very intelligently came as a devotee. He's so attractive, devotee. Oh, I want to be like that. You meet people, isn't it? I want to be like that football star. I want to be like that singer. You try in the shower, it doesn't work. So, for those who are interested in spiritual life, who is this? In the beginning, Mahaprabhu didn't reveal his divinity. It was well into his life he revealed his divinity, when he always had a group of people who trusted him, and when he sought Buddha, you're Nimai, you're God? Yes. So the example is there for all of us. Prabhupada said, bhakti begins, real love begins, when one is freed from sex desire. That's a challenge. So some renunciation has to be, we can't be artificial. Many times people are artificial. They pretend to be who they're not, sahaja. There's a A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. You begin chanting, and those things which are not favorable to Krishna consciousness, they fall away like the snake skin. You don't have to worry. You don't have to practice unnecessary austerities. Just chant, dance, Harikatha, and feast. And as you grow older, you'll naturally renounce this. Everyone has their own pace in Krishna consciousness. That we have to be very patient with others. We shouldn't be hard on others and easy on ourselves. We should be easy on others and hard on ourselves. We should understand that we're coming into this world with some, we're coming into this movement with some dirt in our hearts, and it's going to take a scrubby some time. And we shouldn't highlight people's faults. We should highlight their good qualities. Like Gaur Nitai, they would not consider anyone's offenses. Gaur Nitai only accepted seva. That's why when Guru Kripa Swami showed Prabhupada a deity of Nisringadev early in the movement, he said, "Can I worship this deity?" Prabhupada, "Oh no, he's very angry." Sometimes we find a deity and we're like, "Oh, Nisringadev, I love you." Like, whoa. Prabhupada saw this deity, he went, "Oh, he's very angry." No. Oh, if you want to, then you can worship Nisringa, but with Gaur Nitai. Because Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't consider our offenses. Otherwise, no one would make it back in Kali Yuga. No, he accepts only our seva. So if you, even to this day, Guru Kripa, he has the Nisringa deity, he has very beautiful Gaur Nitai. Technically, we are Gaur Bhaktas. We consider ourselves Krishna Bhaktas. But really, Prabhupada said, when many instructions are given, the last instruction is the most relevant. So many incarnations come, and according to time, place, and circumstance, they give instructions. But the most recent incarnation, Namo Maha Bananaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Go Tasena. By his preaching and by his example, Harinam Sankirtan. Just like Arghavinda Ji. We're pointing him out again because he's such a one of our heroes. I think it's on Thursday, he chants all day or something. Yeah. Instead of going to Bhajan and chanting 192 rounds, he goes out on the street and he chants all day. He'll get more blessings than the Babas at Radhakund. I don't want to disrespect them, but this is the idea. You go out and you serve the holy name by chanting the holy name to all the Londoners and all the people from around the world. This is the best example. So as we advance, we should experience ourselves losing material desires. Otherwise, something's wrong, right? And then you have to go to your mentor and say, like, you know. So what happened was that later on, as Raghunath Das Goswami made more advancement, after the departure of Srila Sanatana Goswami, he gave up eating all foodstuffs, except as much buttermilk as could be placed into a leaf cup. You know, like that, right? Leaf cup. There were some big leaf cups that came from? Gaurikund? Yeah, the forest of Chandravali. And they were thought, oh, you're just eating a leaf cup of buttermilk, so we brought you this leaf from Chandravali. Whoa! No, he's... There's left-wing and right-wing gopis, and they don't... You know. So that Chandravali is the competition for Radharani, so he's a Radharani bhakta. So he wouldn't... He kept to that cup. But after the departure of Rupa Goswami, his renunciation increased. Not that we can imitate, but we can follow in the footsteps, you know, gradually. We know our hearts. Gradually, give up those things that are not favorable to Krishna. Krishna consciousness means to accept those things which are favorable for your progress and to reject those things which are not favorable for your progress. And how do you know that? Because Prabhupada tells us so. So after the departure of Rupa Goswami, he only took as much buttermilk as could fit in his hand. Like you go for Charnamrita, right? So Prabhupada said, therefore, because the Goswamis were so renounced, naturally, because they were so attached to Radha and Krishna, this is the secret, they were very skinny. and a little sickly Prabhupada said, I heard. He said they were a little sickly because they didn't care about their bodies. We can't imitate that because we have to be strong. Prabhupada always signed his letters. Hope this meets you in the best of health, your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because we have seva to do for society, we have to be in good shape. But Goswamis, they just, there's no interest in this world. They were so immersed in Krishna consciousness. They were a little like that. So, he just was drinking this. So his renunciation was described, it was so famous, it was set in stone. You know, like there's an inscription somewhere at Trafalgar Square on some Nelson's column. Okay, a big thing, right? He conquered somewhere. But the renunciation? Daivyesha Gunamai, Krishna says, very difficult. Raghunath Das Goswami, because he's so attached to Lord Chaitanya. He was like Bivamangal Thakur. Bivamangal Thakur, he said, after he became, went to Vrindavan, he lived there 800 years. But previously he was visiting the prostitute, but he became a pure devotee. Krishna appeared before him. Well, he's blind, but Krishna took him by the hand. He said, ever since I've become Krishna conscious and I'm enjoying the deeper rasas of devotional service, meaning he had a relationship with Krishna, he said, whenever I think of the things I used to do in material life, Prabhupada would say, he would quote, he said, I spite at the thought, Prabhupada said. He's actually, Bivamogo is saying, I spit at the thought, but Prabhupada's English was interesting. I spite at the thought. So we want to get to that point where we... Just like in America some years ago during the Reagan administration, there was a campaign against drugs. So they came up with a slogan, right? You have a little company slogan or something. It's not a shloka because it's material life, but a slogan. And the slogan was, just say no. When the drug pusher meets you as you come out of high school on the way home, no. Okay, that was the slogan. I don't know. Maybe it works. It didn't work. So the same with us. When Maya Devi, she's tempting us to see our sincerity. They don't want to let anyone go back to the spiritual world who's going to show any envy to Krishna, any material desires. You don't want to spoil the preparation. Put some sand in the sweet rice. She'll go, woo, in some way or other. And you go, no way, Jose, no way. How? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I do not know how much nectar these transcendental sounds are, the two syllables of Krishna's name. When they enter my ear and go into my heart, they create a jubilant festival of ecstasy. No, no, no to you. Yes to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. And you're better off if you start young. Right? You've got better chances. Like this young boy and this girl. They were not part of the movement at one time, right? You weren't devotees. But they saw the Rath Yatra, isn't it? Coming down the street. And I saw them and I waved. I came over and talked to mommy, right? I said, Hare Krishna. And here they are sitting today. Give them a big round of applause. And look where they are. They're in the front. And they're not fidgeting, they're not moving. With all due respect, parents, children are playing. This boy and girl, they're sitting and they're listening. Just totally absorbed. Maybe they understand, maybe they don't understand. But as I've told you many times, Prabhupada challenged me when I was sleeping in class. Why are you sleeping in my class? Oh, you're speaking Hindi, probably. It does not matter. Stay awake, Indradyumna. This is Shabda Brahma. It's transcendental sound. It will act. So for whatever reason, they're staying awake. So, he was famous for his renunciation, but why? Because of his devotion. Again, Niti Shastra, logic. You can only give up something if you get something better. So he had the best, so he could give up the worst. We're thinking it's the best, but it's the worst. He could give up the worst because he had the best. He's perhaps more famous for his deep realizations. Not only realizations, his deep rasa with with Radha and Krishna. He's our Prayojana Guru. Samanda, Abhideya, and Prayojana. It's a deep, I'm not qualified to speak, but we know there is a higher goal, which is prema, love of God. That's where Raghunath Das goes from, on the highest level. You can know, again, someone by the way they speak. So he composed a beautiful prayer, Vilap Kusumanjali. There's nothing higher than that understanding. And I won't comment on it because I'm not qualified. But there's one quintessential, essential verse that advanced devotees relish. But even young devotees should know, because we want to know what is the goal. Right? But Bob Marley said, we know who we are, we know where we're going. We know we're spirit soul, but where are we going? Generally, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they want to become Manjaris in Goloka Vrindavan. I'll just say it publicly, because when I read the 45th chapter of the Krishna book last night, it was all about rasa, especially Vipalamba, separation from Krishna. So it's there. Prabhupada said that Krishna book will give solace to the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness when they come to the stage of Vipralamba Bhava. He's expecting us to distribute a lot of books, but he also wants us to become pure devotees. And by becoming pure devotees, we become more valuable instruments in the hands of Guru Gauranga for impressing people about Krishna consciousness in this world. Look what one devotee did, one pure devotee, Sridhar Prabhupada. Single-handedly, he brought the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition to the shores of the West. So he wants us to also become pure devotees. So we, at least theoretically, we want to know where we want to go. Oh, I want to go to Vamana Loka. I want to go to Nisringa Loka. No. We have to go to the playground of God. There's no Aishwarya there. There's just prema. That's our goal. And we think about that. Like the turtle, she lays her eggs in the sand and she goes into the water, and some distance away, 100 meters away, she's meditating on the eggs hatching. She's far away, but her meditation, and the little turtles come out. So we're far away from the goal, but we have to meditate, we have to think about it. We don't want to be, you know, sahaja, but we have to know what is the goal, and we have to have a strong desire to go there. So we know the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami because of what he said. Tavai vasmi, tavai vasmi, na jivana tvai vina. Iti vignaya devitvam, nanyamam charanatikam. I am yours. I am yours, speaking to Radha. I cannot live without you. O Queen, please understand this and bring me to your lotus feet. That's our goal. We're crossing over the ocean of material existence, but we want to reach the land like a sailor, right? A sailor's on the wooden boat crossing the sea from Britain to New York. New York, not York, but New York, that's where the name came from. And he's crossing the sea, and he's a good sailor. The wooden boat is there, and he's fixing the sails, and he's varnishing the deck, and he's polishing the brass, and he's taking his sextant out, and he's seeing where he is, the old GPS, and making the adjustments. He's a good sailor, but he never thinks for a moment he's a creature of the water. He's a good sailor, but he never thinks, oh, I'm a creature of the water. He's a little nervous there, actually. He's always thinking, where's the land? So when the land mass appears after 6 months at sea, land ho! Land ho! So we're like that. We're in this world. We don't want to become worldly. We don't want to become too intimate. I was with one sadhu a year or two back, Fakir Mohan. You know Fakir Mohan. He's a famous devotee, fabled to our movement. He gave many wonderful lectures at Krishna Balaram Mandir. He passed away, Fakir Mohan, Gaudiya Vaishnava. One day we're chanting, and I'm chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think I'm doing really good, Hare Krishna. He's chanting, Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he looks at me and he says, Maharaj, I'm not of this world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It made such an impression on me. I never forgot it. And I said to him, I want to be like you. Then keep chanting. So we don't think for a moment that we're creatures of this world. Our mind, the sailor's mind is actually, where's his mind really at? On the land. So we're like that. We're going through life. Education, yes, it's important. Career is important. Marriage is important. Society, the environment's important. You know, we also, you know, global warming, hey, we know the solution. Ishvashamidam sarvam yatkinja yatkinam tena tak. Just take what you need, not according to your greed. We're concerned because there's going to be future generations of Vaishnavas. So we want to live, have them live in some hellhole. But really, like a woman who's married, I'm using this example because it came from Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan. They asked how to remain Krishna conscious and his separation from Mahaprabhu. So he wrote him a letter. He said, just like a woman who's married has a paramour. And she's, you know, at home she's very dutiful, so no one's suspicious. Yes, honey, your doll is coming quickly. The kids are going to school. But in her heart of hearts, she's always thinking of her paramour. Now, don't misuse that analogy. It's not meant, but there's a, you know, there's... And no analogy is perfect because this is an imperfect world, but we can draw from analogies to help us understand deep philosophical points. Mahaprabhu said that she's acting dutifully, but she's always thinking of her lover. So similarly, we also have a divine lover. All of us have a connection with Krishna. He's the one person who can love everyone simultaneously to their full satisfaction. No one can do that. A king may have 36 wives, but, you know, they're complaining in the background. That's our goal. We're keeping Krishna in mind. So how to keep Krishna in mind? You have to hear about Krishna. You have to talk about Krishna. You have to remember Krishna. You have to serve the lotus feet of the deity of Krishna. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he's our hero. Prem Pumato Mahan. There's four goals, right? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Everybody's into it. Mahaprabhu revealed a higher goal. Prem Pumato Mahan. Love for Krishna. What type of love did Mahaprabhu introduce? Braj Bhakti. The love of the residents at Vrindavan, and in particular the maidservants, the gopis, the cowherd girls. And who did he give it to? The people of London on Oxford Street, going into Starbucks and having a coffee and a meat sandwich and you know, going to make money. He gave it to them. How does he give it? Because Govinda's on the street giving Yuga Dharma. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Nama. That love, that type of love, that Braja Bhakti, Raghunath Das Goswami wrote it down for us. You know, now we can get bits and pieces of it, we can hear about it like that, but especially when, as one becomes advanced, books like, well, Manashiksha is very valuable for us. I mentioned Vilap Kusmanjali, Don Kaili Chintamani, Mukta Charita. These books are about Krishna's pastimes. They're better than any fairy tale. They're better than any Avengers movie. So this highest goal of really, I mean, okay, it's there. It's Vipralamba, it's separation. Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and what happens? Everyone loves him more than anyone's ever been loved before because it's the nature of separation. Separation makes the heart grow fonder. So Krishna's tricky. He leaves, and oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, then he comes back. Oh, like that. And it's no secret, because if you read Shikshastakam prayers, right? The Shikshastakam prayers, Mahaprabhu never really wrote anything down. But he was surrounded by devotees like Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami, like that. He was surrounded by them. So when he would say very poignant things, they would write it down. So where do the Shikshastra compares come? The Shikshastra compares are the mission statement of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. How to go from A to Z, how to go from Shraddha to Prem, how to become a pure devotee and fulfill Prabhupada's desire. That's there in the Shikshastra compares. All glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan. You do some seva. Get out there. Distribute some books. Preach. Have children. Raise them in Krishna consciousness. Become a teacher and throw in a few shlokas during your history class. Whatever. There's something for everyone. Those Shikshastra compares, we recite them every morning, don't we? Well, I think in the temples they do. But you see that how it's revealed there, there's eight verses. And in the beginning, the verses are about meeting Krishna, like they say in Christianity, meet thy maker. So the second verse of Shikshastakam, that idea is introduced. My dear Lord, please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as an atom on your feet. It's poetic. It means I want to be right next, as close to Krishna. I haven't seen you in a million years. Please pick me up and let me do, you know, I'll wash the pots, I'll do anything. I just want to be with you. And then in the fifth verse, actually second verse is, O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. And the fifth verse is, pick me up from this ocean of birth and death and fix me as an atom. All meeting Krishna. But as we go on, the seventh and eighth verses, Mahaprabhu introduces this idea of, you know, loving God in separation. Oh, Govinda, feeling her separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. And then, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. He shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. So that idea of separation is there. At least, theoretically, philosophically, we know that's where we're going. So that's the subject matter given by Raghunath Das Goswami. And Prabhupada talked about it at 26 Second Avenue. Hey! In a lecture. I heard it recently. Prabhupada told the hippies who were becoming happies and the drug addicts who were coming down on LSD, the best place to come down on LSD, they heard, was go to the 26 Second Avenue and hear from the Swami and take an apple. So there Prabhupada said, quote, the more you feel separation from Krishna, you should understand that you are advancing. 1966. He said, but don't try to see Krishna artificially. Be advanced in separation feelings, and then it will become perfect. That is the teachings I'm introducing as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Nectar Devotion, which is the law book of ISKCON, on page 83, it's a big book, but only page 83, Prabhupada said, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolium. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. So yes, but how do you do it? You don't jump over. How do you begin? Guru Maharaj, I promise you on this day that I will refrain from four sinful activities. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and gambling, and I will chant 16 rounds every day. I will not hear criticism of devotees. I'll serve my authorities, and I'll go out on Sankirtan. Confucius said the longest journey begins with the first step. That's what it is. And in time, it will come. If it's not coming, we should lament. Generally, we lament when we don't get something material. I didn't get it. They didn't give me that present at Christmas. I didn't get that raise. I don't have this. No. We should lament on the spiritual platform that we've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 50 years and we're not crying when we chant. The other day was my actual birthday, May 20th, 1949. God, sounds like a dinosaur. 1949, jeez. And I was with a friend of mine, and I'll just share something, you know, because you're my students, and I'm also aspiring devotee, just to be frank. I'm a little step higher up the mountain, so you just follow, and then I'll go one step, and you come behind me. I said to him, and it was recorded, so somebody recorded it, so I took the scans. I said, since I took shelter of my spiritual master when I was 19 years old, I have spent much of my life preaching and doing different spiritual activities for his pleasure. But after all these years, I haven't achieved Krishna prema. When will I get Krishna prema? So one devotee nearby said, Maharaj, don't worry about those things. Just preach and distribute books. I said, yeah, but I know my spiritual master wants me to become pure. He doesn't want to have to come back and save me. Because if the disciple doesn't make it back, the guru has to come back, take birth again to deliver the disciple. So Prabhupada said, be kind on your old spiritual master. Now I can say it. Be kind on your old spiritual master. So my friend, who was very advanced devotee, he gave a different answer. He said, Maharaj, you won't get Krishna prema now, because if you get Krishna prema, you won't be able to preach. You will leave all your preaching and come under a tree in Vrindavan and shed tears all day. Then how will the preaching mission in Mahaprabhu go on? Right now you have taken the whole world on your shoulder. If you come to Vrindavan and if you live like a Babaji, you will need two boys just to carry you around and serve you. The Lord is not going to let that happen. And then he shared a story from Shastra, and interestingly, one of my disciples referred to that story today from Satchinandan Swami, but I'll tell it again. It's not in CC, it's not in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but we know that there's many leelas that are there that weren't necessarily written down, but are in more minor shastras. Just like I was, you know, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says in the beginning, if I mentioned all of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, the book would become too bulky, too large. So there's many pastimes. So this is a nice pastime to show that sometimes prema is restricted. Of course, this is not my case. My case is because I'm not at Anartha Vivita yet, but it's interesting discussion. My friend related a story that prema may not be granted to a devotee because preaching is the ultimate duty in this world. So he said, let me give you an example. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he came to Shantivur to visit Advaitacharya. And many of Mahaprabhu's followers came along, different students, and they assembled there. And Mahaprabhu stayed for a day, and when he was leaving, everyone was crying. Oh, when will that day be ours? Mahaprabhu's leaving, and you know, everyone's crying, but not Advaita. He didn't have any tears coming from his eyes. He wasn't, apparently, it's a pastime, feeling any emotion. So he went to Mahaprabhu and he said, Mahaprabhu, wait. He fell at his feet. My heart's like stone. I'm not feeling any emotion for you forever. Please give me some love for you. So you know what Mahaprabhu said to Advaita? If you cry tears all day and night, who will manage these men? Who will manage these devotees? I've come here for a purpose, to spread the Sankirtan movement. You need to help them and guide them now. Then he showed Mahaprabhu, he showed Advaitacharya, a knot, because Mahaprabhu wore a rope around his waist with knots. That's how he did japa. Mahaprabhu did japa. So he had this rope around his waist, which is tied in knots. And he said, he held up one of the knots on the rope and he said, your tears are locked up in this knot. And the day I untie this knot, you will get love of God, and you will cry all day and night. But for now, get out and preach. But we should hanker for that. to be patient, but there's that song, right? When, oh, when will that day be mine? We should think like that. Like the caterpillar. Well, we gave the example. The caterpillar, ugly little beast, hairy, 32 legs, bulging eyes. But she knows she has a higher being. So she goes into the cocoon as a metamorphosis, and she comes out as a butterfly. So we have a higher calling, a very high calling. And we have to do what's necessary to get there. Follow the rules and chant Hare Krishna. One time Prabhupada said, just by following the rules and regulations and chanting Hare Krishna, you'll go back to Godhead. He said it many times, it's in writing. He wanted us to come to the point, crying. In a letter, which Prabhupada wrote in Seattle, 1968, he wrote, as we go on chanting Hare Krishna in the pure status, we shall be on the loving platform. And at that time, we shall feel the greatest separation from the Lord. He's writing a brand new devotee. But that feeling of separation from the Lord is more relishable than meeting the Lord. These are all transcendental understandings, and as we grow in Krishna consciousness, we understand everything gradually by the grace of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and he reveals himself to the devotee as they progress in Krishna consciousness. If they want that more than you want material life, Prabhupada writes on page 107 of Nectar of Devotion, for persons who are not inclined to clear the dust from their hearts, who want to keep the dirty things as they are, it's not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So it's inconceivable, right? Right now we'd rather be with our husband than separated from our husband, at least in theory. You know, we want to be with our lover. We don't want to be away from our lover. So how is separation from Krishna better than being with Krishna? I apologize to the Grihastras. That's a joke. How is it better to be separated from Krishna than to be with Krishna? I quoted it, Soho Street. Right? Rupa Goswami says in Padyavali, this is Rupa Goswami, if I had to choose between union with Krishna and separation from him, I would choose separation. Because when I'm with Krishna, I see only one Krishna. But when I'm separated from him, I see Krishna coming toward me from every corner of the universe. Vipra Lamba Bhava Ki. So, yes, I'm just reminding you of the goal. Of course, before you can become separated from someone, feel separation, you have to become attached to them. So don't worry about it now, the separation part. You're not going to feel separation until you get attached. So how do you get attached? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Just in theory, as your spiritual teacher, I have to give you the whole gamut, A to Z. But actually, it's like Polish in 10 easy lessons. You don't have to do the austerities, the shastras. You chant, you dance, you study the shastras, take prasadam, do some service, but think big. Think big. Prabhupada thought big in preaching Krishna consciousness. He would tell us every marathon. I remember. Tax your brains how to spread this movement. So also think big about what you want to achieve in Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. We want to go back to Godhead. So it begins by becoming attached and then bearing that separation, but it will be blissful. Think big. Prabhupada always thought big. One time he was in Nairobi and he was with some of his senior devotees. Shrutakirti was there, Bhavananda was there, Brahmananda was there, Gargamuni was there. And they're taking a morning walk in a little jungle area. You'll be amazed by this. And Prabhupada stopped and he said to the devotees, this is how Prabhupada thinks big. He said, I want to make a movie. Did you ever hear that? I never heard Prabhupada wanted to make a movie. He said, I want to make a movie. And Sri Tukirti said, really, Prabhupada? Like, what movie? Prabhupada said, yes, Mahabharat. And my movie will be 18 days long. You'll come one day for the first session, and then the second session, it will be 18 days long. One day for every day of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And Shyamasundar, you'll be Arjuna. And Brahmananda, you'll be Bhima. Gargamuni, you can be the evil-minded Shakuni. And Bhavananda will be my assistant. I will direct every scene, and your disciples will assist me. It will be a famous movie around the world, 18 days. So I'm just saying how Prabhupada thought things. So in your seva, you should think big. And in your ultimate aspirations, you should also think big. And how to attain that goal of union with Krishna. It's like Prabhupada said, when you get back to the spiritual world, your spiritual master is waiting for you. He takes your hand and he walks you into the kunj and he puts your hand in the hand of Krishna and he leaves the two of you alone. What compares to that in this world? Politics? Rock and roll? Hip-hop? I don't know the music. It all sounds like clashing of pots and pans, you know, some mumbling. And the finer things of life, les connoisseurs, voilà. Whatever. It's dry stool, wet stool. Nothing compares to the... So how to get back there? Prabhupada made it very clear. By assisting him in his service here, we qualify ourselves to assist him in his service there. He's our every well-wisher. He's our deliverer from the world of birth and death to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. So for just fix your mind on your service. But at nighttime, read Krishna book chapter 45 and drink hot milk. Yata yata gora padara vinde vindeta bhaktim kuta punya rasi tata tato sarpati ridyavas mad varapanam bhoja sadambu rasi. You've heard me say it many times. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, to that degree we gain qualification for the service of Radharani's lotus feet in Vrindavan. So we wish you all the best. Because Prabhupada said, I'm your ever well wisher, so as his representative, I'm also wishing you, it's more than a wish, I'm praying, hoping and praying that you'll make it to the spiritual goal. And my promise to all of you is that I will give you my very best to helping you achieve it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.